Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Sharon Bradley, Nancy Galway, and Phil Powers. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Nancy Galway, and I'd like to thank you for joining us and welcome you to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we're very excited to welcome to The Psychic Viewpoint Dr. John Turner, and our show tonight is called Unconditional Love. Dr. Turner is going to share his insight and knowledge into the world of metaphysics, unconditional love, and forgiveness. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-host, Sharon Bradley, Maureen Halloran, and of course, Phil Powers. Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome.
I mean, hi.
Hey.
And how's everybody this evening?
Great. Wonderful.
Doing good.
So we'll start with Sharon. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
And yep. Would you like to tell us about yourself and your abilities?
Sure. I do readings on Psychic Access, and I don't use really any tools. I hear and see from spirit. That's how I do my readings. So
wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
How are you this evening, Maureen?
I'm doing just really okay. Thank you very much.
Good to hear.
Yeah, thanks. So you want me to...
Yes, I'd like you to share, please.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be necessary. Yes, I will. I don't think... share more than what I do at home. Okay, yes. I am a tarologist. Really, I utilize tarot cards, and I don't need them, but I do like them, but I go beyond that with my tarot cards, and I integrate it with numerology, astrology, and whatever I'm feeling, and it's coming from God and love in my heart. I don't have guides. I don't hear guides, or I'm not saying they're not around. But so I help people with their direction, and especially and also spiritual development. And I do appreciate a lot of people that have business issues or career issues or business ventures. I really like doing those. And relationships. And I work on PsychicAccess.com with the rest of my fellow co-hosts as well. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing. And, of course, Phil, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm very well, thank you. And would you like to share a little bit about yourself and your abilities?
Who am I and what am I doing here? Sure.
Yeah, who you are and why you are here.
I am Phil Powers, known as Magus on Psychic Access, and I am also part of this wonderful Psychic Access family. I'm an empath. I read the tarot cards. I use the pendulum for yes, no, and time frame questions. I've got some of the C's going on. I guess we'll find out next week which ones, but it's all just kind of Gnostic for me. And I guide people with relationships, business, releasing, and all sorts of other fun stuff.
All kinds of interesting topics.
All kinds of fun stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing.
All right.
And, well, I will. And I just want to tell everyone to stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. And some of them you've heard introduce themselves this evening. We will announce our call-in number later in the show. So be sure to have your pen and paper ready. And if you're unable to catch our last week's show, you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. So please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible, so be sure to include others in our show. Tonight, I'm delighted and honored to welcome our very special guest, Dr. John Turner. For 18 years, Dr. Turner served as the sole neurosurgeon on the island of Hawaii, initially performing life-saving procedures with marginally trained staff and substandard equipment. By all measures, Dr. Turner is a surgeon with classic Western medical credentials. From his first day on call in Hilo, Hawaii, metaphysical events appeared for his edification and continue to the present day. His amazing book entitled Medicine, Miracles, and Manifestations is a doctor's journey through the worlds of divine intervention, near-death experiences, and universal energy. I'm reading it now, and it's very difficult to put down. And it was hard to put it down, but I had to come to the show, so I had to put it down. So for more information on Dr. John Turner, visit his website at www.johnturner.com. And I believe Dr. Turner is on the line right now. Hi, are you there?
Yes, I am, Nancy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Aloha.
Yes, aloha. Thank you very much for that.
And how are you this evening?
I'm fine. I'm ready to go. As I told you, I have a slight cold, but that's really nothing at all, no importance. So I'm really fine tonight.
Well, we're sending healing your way. And I'm so glad that you took the time to be with us tonight. And you probably heard me mention I'm reading the book, and a friend actually gave it to me, and I looked at it, and I just, you know, was very curious. There's a very nice picture on the front, and it was very interesting. And then when I opened it and started to read, it was, you know, it's just a fascinating story. So when we were talking about what to call the show tonight, you mentioned unconditional love. So how does that connect with the metaphysical world in your eyes?
I think that in order to understand how to love someone without putting any restrictions on their beliefs is a key thing. And
okay. My
feeling is, and I started that in this book, and after the book ended is when I really started to appreciate all of this. I think to do this, we have to first pass through a stage of true forgiveness. We have to be able to forgive anyone and everyone. Once that's done, then I think we'll see each other as brothers and sisters and as all links in the same chain and all coming from that one point. And if we can reach that as a world family, this is what we have to do, or there may not be much of a world left for us. Certainly other species were extinct, and we're headed that way if we don't shape up. And I think we can all work together and make this a better place.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so my next question was, how is unconditional love and forgiveness connected? But you just answered that.
Yes, okay. Well, I should have stressed a little more about that because, I think you have to reach that point. But to do that, I think you have to go through a journey. And you have to actually, all of us are going through our individual fires of one type or another. And once we make it through that fire, hopefully we've been forged from tin, wood, and iron into gold. And then we have to simply stay gold, and we have to stay on the path. And we've got to always focus on that. It's not an easy job. It takes work, but I think that's what we're here to do, and that's what we must do. So the metaphysical things, I think, are important to guide us. And how they guide us, it may be, as Jane Roberts wrote in her great books, Oversoul Seven books, we may get that guidance through our dreams in ways that we may not always remember. But, you know, if you were to Google unconditional love now, you'd get over 9 million hits on it. So
wow. There's
a lot of talk that's thrown back and forth. But, you know, for me, it was a long, long process. It's taken most of my life so far. And it took a solid year spent with doing things like A Course in Miracles to try to suppress that ego that always wants to rear up. And, you know, Nancy, I realized I had reached this point of total forgiveness, but only after the book was published. Then I met some very key instrumental people who continued with the teaching. And I was able to, I think, reach a point where I can see everyone as a brother or sister. And I tell you, when it was really driven home, really only a month or so ago, when I realized, without knowing it, now this may not sound funny to you because you don't know me, but before I realized it, I had my guitar out. I was learning the D and E and G chords, and I was playing country music, and I was appreciating the country music song so much because of the deep stories that they told. Quite different
kind
of music, and I had bypassed that all my life for reasons that I had to deal with after coming to Hawaii.
Wow. And the next question I was going to ask, you know, you just talked about country music, but in one of our emails you mentioned to me the song by Tim McGraw, Live Like You Were Dying, and why does that resonate with you, that particular song and that title?
Well, as a doctor, as you can imagine, I've had to present some very, really bad news to people, you know, sudden finding of a brain tumor, sometimes a malignant tumor, sometimes any type of cancer. And there are ways that people can deal with it if they're on the level where they can, you know, want to work with these things, but sometimes they're not. And sometimes I find them frantically leafing through a Bible, something they've never done before, in attempts to ward something off. And I think preventive medicine is always the best cure. And I think if we focus on helping others and having a good time and constantly doing those two things, we can have a great path through this journey on this earth.
Totally. And you started with physics and neurosurgery, and how do you think you shifted to metaphysics? I know you touched on it briefly, but was, you know, it's quite a big difference. Or is it?
Well, if I talk too much, just please stop me because I get...
Oh, no. Talk as much as you want.
Basically, physics is the way things work. And all things. And engineering physics, which I specialized in, was a way to put that theory into practice, you know, such as a mechanical engineer might do to build a building or something like that, but to put the principles of physics to work. So I was pretty much trained that way, and not in any type of metaphysical things at all, except for one caveat. I was always interested in astral projection ever since I first started college, and that was a long time ago. But I spent those early years in undergraduate school and probably graduate school trying to lay down on the couch and roll out of my body and follow the teaching of the times past now. These authors are long gone, but there were all these techniques. And as you know from the book, I spent 1 year with the study of Ekinkar, trying a different monthly tactic. But all that really didn't produce any results for me. And it was in medical school when someone gave me The Sleeping Prophet by Jess Stern. And that was when I first started to realize that this metaphysics was much more interesting than the quantum mechanics and all the physics I had been studying. I mean, it was just unbelievable how a man like Edgar Cayce could have a cure rate that some have said, Nancy, is as high as 75% by just going into a trance and getting these things about mixing the bark of this, the juice of that, and the karma of this. It just changed everything. And
It's amazing.
I took this out of the book, but I had in there how I marched into the chairman's office of physics and I said, listen, I'm making a change. I was ready to do my research in molecular spectroscopy. Everything was set. But I told him, I said, I'm much more interested in metaphysics. And it really kind of stunned him because this was Columbus, Ohio, Ohio State University, and you don't hear that word tossed around, you know, in these circles. And
no.
I remember what he said, though. He said two things. I'd be interested in how you're going to do this. And also, I want to tell you, if you feel you're being called, you should follow that call. I remember him very distinct about that.
Good advice.
Yeah, so I told him, well, as far as how to do it, that was a good question. This was back, you know, in back in the early 80s, late 70s. I said, I think I'm going to go to medical school. I thought I could study the mind. Maybe psychiatry was the way, but as you know, things changed, and I was led into neurology and neurosurgery and the study of the brain. Mm-hmm. And coming to a place like Hawaii allowed me to investigate some of these brain metaphysical things in a way that I wasn't hindered like I would have been on the mainland. And I don't know if you've reached the point in my book where there's a picture of me in surgery, but things like that I couldn't have done on the mainland. But here, things are very open to healing.
Right.
And the word you use, Nancy, aloha, as you know, means hello and goodbye, but also it's a word that's full of love. It's a very important thing over here, that aloha.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, did I talk too much with that?
No, that's perfect. And as much information as you want to give is totally up to you. And I know in the book, like, you talked a lot about near-death experiences, and how has these near-death experiences you've been involved in affected your views of death and dying in particular?
Let me tell you this. Like most of us, we probably began by reading the great books of Dr. Raymond Moody back in the mid-70s, starting with Life After Life. And I never realized that one day I would have the opportunity to hear Dr. Moody address me as his friend Jack and his colleague. We've been on several dozen or more radio shows talking about primarily his work, which I really am thrilled about. His latest book, Nancy, is called Glimpses of Eternity. And, you know, I'm involved in a lot of projects that are designed to explain the best we can explain why we're here, what our job is here, where we go when we leave here, meaning this earth. And this shared death experience takes near-death experience to another level. And it takes away all of the doubters who say, well, these near-death experiences are a result of the dying brain. I mean, not enough oxygen, you're going to see this bright light and all those kind of things. And there's also too much carbon dioxide, those kind of theories. All kind of chemical theories abound. But when people who are there with the one who is passing, and they also are able to enjoy elements of the passing person's near-death experience, it takes away all that dying brain thing. And I mean, I thought his book was phenomenal, and I wanted to do all I could to push that book, because that was really an eye-opener for me. It helped put the final bolt into place with this near-death experience.
Yeah, interesting. And in your book, in one chapter, your friend Tyrone states, and I'm quoting this out of the book, that you should not be interested in astral projection just for the sake of doing it. Once you become enlightened, this and many other things will begin to happen. And that was very significant for you. And how did that impact the rest of your spiritual journey?
It was significant because Tyrone is a neurosurgeon, also African-American, but very, very brilliant. He has, I don't know, 20 or so patents on devices to do deep brain stereotactic surgery.
Wow.
So, he's not a fool, very well educated. And it happened as we were going to go for a ride to a beach park, and that was back in the day where I might take a six-pack of beer with me, and that's way before country music. But anyway, I remember offering him a beer, and he just turned it down with a shake of his head. And then for some reason, out came this question, Tyrone, what do you think of astral projection? And after looking at me two or three times, he finally came up with that answer that you just read. And I said, well, come enlightened, what are you talking about? So he pulled into the beach park, and he started to teach me about the tree of life. And he asked me which way did I want my life to go. And at that time, I was having a lot of struggles, going through the second of three divorces, right, and trying to work and being on call all the time and having three children I tried to see, being every other weekend father. It was very tough. And he asked me to take a look over his shoulder at the sea behind him, the ocean behind him. And he said, what do you see if you look over my left shoulder, way over to the left? And there was a nice sunshiny spot. But over to the right, where he had me look, there was a storm cloud gathering. And he said, now which way would you want your life to go? And I couldn't believe that he was trying to tell me I had a choice. And that led to the study of many other things, starting with that year of chanting the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, trying to hook into those universal powers to allow me to direct my life. And years and years later, I finally arrived at some technical research that shows that we may have a lot less free will than we think we have. And what I mean by that, Nancy, in the appendix of my book, there's a mention to a doctor of a doctor's work, Libet, L-I-B-E-T. And this was before the functional MRIs and PET scans and all the fancy stuff, but using EEGs, yes, he was able to show that a third of a second before we're consciously aware of a movement or an action, the signals could be picked up as a readiness potential in the brain, showing that they are already in progress. And fortunately, his work does leave a fifth of a second window in which, if we're on top of the problem, we might be able to change that. And that may be where the manifestation comes in, if we can really work in that narrow window and be very, very focused and aware. I think it's possible we can affect some significant changes.
Wow, and we talked about, you know, really having difficulty, and it was kind of a mission to astral project. Did you ever become successful with the astral projection, and was it what you expected it to be?
I would say yes and yes. I'll try to give a short answer to this. you know, when after publishing a book, you, suddenly, especially if your publisher has, you know, some type of publicity campaign, you start doing these internet radio shows. And I think the very first one I was on was with a chiropractic physician. And it's been 2 years now, so I'm sorry I don't recall his name. But at the very end of the show, he said, well, Dr. Turner, he said, let's get back to this astral projection. He said, now, were you ever able to achieve an out-of-the-body experience? And I was able to answer that with an affirmative yes at that point. It wasn't something I had tried to do. But I tell you what, Nancy, you might have to explain it to me, because that first time involved something that I call pitch blackness. And I mean a solid, solid blackness that maybe the Tibetan Buddhists describe as this stage of the mind where you reach a stage of pure blackness. It was like that. And it happened through a dream. A dream led into this, and I remember clearly what happened. I was opening the garage door of my house to walk through the garage, and the garage was completely empty and solid, solid black.
Wow.
I knew where the other door was to the outside, so I opened that, and I found myself outside in the driveway looking up at the stars and right dead smack at the constellation Orion. Now, that has some meaning to me for a lot of reasons in the past, but there I was looking at that. And I said, you know, I said, all of this talk about jumping dimensions, all these weird things, I said, it should be possible if I just take a running, flying leap now. And I ran down the driveway, and everything except for that constellation was pitch black. And then, next thing I knew, I was back in the bed. But
wow.
The strange thing about this is I was like looking down at myself and looking over, and I saw my wife's arm extended up straight in the air, and she looked ghastly pale. She's Japanese, not a pale Japanese, but she looked very pale, and her arm looked a little withered. And I looked over the other side, and my son was still asleep on the bed. And then it was the strangest feeling. I can't describe it as weightlessness. I can't describe it as floating. It's just, it doesn't have any description, but it was something different. And then slowly what happened, I just settled back down, and the next thing I know, I was back, laying face down on the bed, and awake. It was a weird thing. And then it happened a couple of other times involving pitch black again at the beginning, but not a frightening black, but just a pitch black.
Wow. And is astral projection and soul travel the same?
Well, by soul travel, are you referring to that Ekinkar, which has been called the ancient science of soul travel?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a guided type of astral projection, along with a guide who would take one to the Akashic Records, for example, and things like, things like that. And it was all formed by Paul Twitchell, I believe, in the mid-50s, I think I'm correct about the date, who suddenly had a man who was very brown-skinned with a beard and mustache who appeared in his bedroom and told him to begin to take dictation. And it led to this, what they called a new religion at the time, Ekinkar. And I found it was interesting, and reading all their books, trying all their exercises, I wasn't able to do a thing. So when Tyrone said, once you become enlightened, this and many other things will happen. And the way he said it to me, and things that happened right after that, seemed to say that, hey, I've got to try to clean up spiritually and reach these levels where I have an understanding of how this all works. So that's
So once you became enlightened, you found, like he said, it just things just started to happen.
Don't jump too fast now, ma'am. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say I'm enlightened. I'm still working very hard towards that end. But
you're on the path of enlightenment.
Yeah, as I told you, what I found suddenly, after a friend gave me the movie Country Strong and just begged me just to watch it, he said, I'm going to mail you this movie. Mm-hmm. I think he knew that if he asked me to rent it, I wasn't interested in country music. But that led to a study of these country music artists, a study of their music, and also why these songs had such deep meaning, like that Live Like You Were Dying. Well, that kind of thing, when people are hit with that kind of news, as the song goes, a woman stopped him on a dime, and he spent the next days looking at x-rays and going over options. But he thought about the sweet times, and then he changed, this person in the song. He said, I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness that was long overdue, right?
Yeah, and they're very passionate.
The song goes on to say, I hope you get a chance to live like you were dying. And then the chorus goes skydiving and Rocky Mountain climbing, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I realize, wow, that's a hard way to do it. It's better to try to reach that point, to live every day as if it might be your last, and really to concentrate on being productive, polishing the spirit, and also always trying to help other people that need the help, and even if they don't ask you for it, there are times when you can still be helpful. And your video clip kind of pointed out this, you know, your video clip on Unconditional Love on your website for the show today, as it was explained, it's not mm-hmm. something that means you go out and feed every homeless person, bring them into your home. You got to use some discretion. And pretty soon you just know what to do. You know when somebody needs help, and if they're your brother or sister, you know how to help them. It's really pretty simple.
Yeah. Exactly. And there, we talk about the mind and the brain, and what is the difference? I know it's not the same thing, so how can you explain the difference between the mind and the brain, or is there a difference?
I think that if you and I had talked, Nancy, 2 years ago, 3 years ago perhaps, and if you asked me, Dr. Turner, as a neurosurgeon operating on the brain, and diseases, disorders, and so forth, tell me, does the brain produce our consciousness? I would have smiled and said, well, yes, of course it does. Now you're asking me that question in a way I'm going to answer you to say, no, consciousness produces the brain and everything else. Mm-hmm. Consciousness was here and produced all of this. And to say, where is the mind? Well, after experiencing the technique of remote viewing, for example, which allows you to tap into that collective unconscious that Carl Jung named so aptly, there seems to be that information about everything, past, present, and future, that's accessible. And once you've done that, it's an eerie kind of feeling. You realize this is the way it works, and that there is this universal mind, and we're all part of it. Mm-hmm. And although we may not look the same, and we may not believe in the same beliefs, think the same, we are the same thing. We're all one.
Yeah.
And I think after passing that forgiveness stage, where true forgiveness is given, I think then things change. More doors open, and I think it's easier to see why we're all one and why we can never forget that. And all I can say, getting to that stage of forgiveness for me involved all these metaphysical journeys that I took, trying to find the path, and always I was already on the path without knowing it. You know, it wasn't a path I had to look for. We're all on the path all the time. And all we have to do is realize that heaven is not just above. Heaven is also below our feet. We're walking on it. So it's just a matter of waking up.
Yeah, exactly. And in your book, there were several really amazing experiences that you described, but was there one in particular that really made you sit back in awe, one that more than all the others?
Well, that's difficult because they were all, to me, very significant, but I would say one that ties in with what I said about forgiveness has to do with the Vietnamese lady that came to me with a malignant brain tumor, and this tumor was in the center of her head, about the size of a small lemon. And
yeah, that was amazing.
In that area, there's no structure that can produce a benign tumor. This was unquestionably a cancer. And the treatment to offer at that time was just radiation treatment and chemotherapy. There was no stem cell, none of that kind of thing going on. So at any rate, what happened was I was fortunate that in my travels I met a Buddhist monk. And this man was always talking about forgiveness. And that whole aloha spirit. And he would sit around at the coffee shops or in the street cafe, and he would just talk to people about how they have to overcome the ego and all these things, right? And so anyway, he accompanied this lady with her family, and I described the surgery, saying I could only take a small biopsy. This was in the area, Nancy, technically called the corpus callosum, where we've all heard these crossing fibers cross from left to right. So to remove anything sizable from that area, you basically disconnect the person's hemispheres, which is not very easy to live with. So that wasn't going to be, removal wasn't going to be the treatment. So I did the biopsy, and it was malignant, and I set her up for a course of 6 weeks of radiation. But when she came in to talk about that, she came with these Vietnamese monks. I think there were seven of them. And they wore those orange, bright orange kind of robes, and they had the prayer beads, and they sat and they listened as I explained everything, and then they left with the lady, and my friend held back, and he said, may I see you another minute? I said, well, sure, John, what's up? He said, I want to say this. I have a feeling you think they came here from Vietnam to pray for her during this therapy. I said, yes, I know those are prayer beads. That's all I know about the whole thing. He said, no. What they're going to do with her, they're going to take her on a guided meditation. They're going to take her to what they call the seven hell worlds. They're going to show her what she'll go through if she refused to offer forgiveness that she's harbored for so many years that probably caused this dis-ease in the form of a brain tumor. So I said, well, John, I wish them all the best with that, but I've never seen a malignant tumor disappear or be cured. I would hope that something happens, but let's see.
That was amazing.
Later, when they came back, that was the surprise, as you read. There was no tumor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the tumor thing had just mislabeled, and I called the radiologist, and he was awestruck, too. He couldn't believe it was gone. And the lady just nodded and smiled and thanked me, and they left. So
wow.
I know she lived several more years and went back to Vietnam, then I lost touch with her, but she was able to forgive a person that she had sworn she would never, ever forgive. And carrying around that excess baggage and that hatred in her heart and in
yeah.
her soul, I think, caused that. So it is
killing her.
To overcome this. But think, if you can get to the point before you get this bad news, before you're slammed with this terrible disease, and go get that forgiveness out of the way, then that's a lot less to worry about. And I think that's the way to do it.
Yes, I agree. And Dr. Turner, we're just going to take a one-minute commercial break, so it's time for a short break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
And welcome back. And we're here talking to Dr. Turner. And Dr. Turner, I'm going to ask you about your dedication page. And I noticed that one of the people in your book is President Barack Obama on the dedication. And I was surprised to see that. Was there a special reason why you wanted to dedicate the book to him?
Yes, there was. And it's not a political one. It's more of things we've just been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? I began with an agent for my book that was one of the people who started the Noetic Institute with Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut. And
oh.
he is a published author, and he liked my book after reading the first couple chapters, and he said he would be glad to take it on as an agent. And
wow.
he had been the agent for a friend of mine who wrote the great books on Egypt, who was in the chapter of my book called Temple and Man.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, she had told me about this man, and he said, yes, I'd like to do that. So what happened was he started with big publishers like Random House and those kind of things, and they all said the same thing. They said, this is an interesting story. They said, but there's one little problem. Who is this Dr. John Turner? No one's heard of him, and our business is to make money, and we can't really sell a book. Now, if Colin Powell submits a book, we'll sell it. I understood that. There was no question about that. So then I had a second agent. And she wasn't much help with me. And then finally, a man I met on the internet who had read the manuscript, he said, look, I like this so much. He said, I've got a technical writing business. He said, I'll find a mainstream publisher for you. He said, this book should be published for many reasons. I said, okay, we'll see what you can do. Well, what happened, he was able to secure a publisher, but it happened this way. Three or four years ago in February, I was working at the computer, looking at this manuscript, thinking about the problems I was having trying to get this published. And I realized that the first couple of chapters were all about me. I mean, they were about my upbringing, what it took for me to go to engineering physics and to medical school and to neurosurgery, being a person of color in the United States, in Ohio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't start off very nice, because I remember my first day in class, the kind of names I was called, because everyone else was Caucasian but me.
Oh, wow.
And then it happened again in the 10th grade when my parents moved to another area of town. Again, I go to a school, I'm the only one of color in the class. And again, the very first day, I decided I'll try to work with everyone, and there I hear those names again. So
mm-hmm.
I talked about that. I talked about what it was like to go through these battles. Now, may I say a quick plug for my mother, bless her soul? She passed away at age 99, and she died here.
God bless her.
Her last years. Let me tell you, ladies, how fortunate I've been. I was able to stop working and take care of her. She had Alzheimer's disease, and she truly lived in the moment. But she was the first African-American woman to get her Ph.D. in child psychology at Ohio State in 1935 when she was 25.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. And you know what happened?
Uh-huh.
They could not stop her because she was a straight-A student in college. And uh-huh. they had to end up encouraging her to get her Ph.D. That's how it worked. And she always told me, Jack, she called me, or Jackie, she said, it's not your IQ that matters, it's your I quit. She said, you can do anything you put your elbows into. And
that's
what I think is true. So I don't think what I've done with the brain and physics and all that is very special. It's just I kept at it and kept at it and kept at it, which it takes. So at any rate, that day I was looking at those first two chapters, and I said, now what is the real message I want to get across? Is it what I went through, or is it what I've been through in the form of spiritual experiences in Hawaii? So I threw away the first two
mm-hmm.
chapters. I started the book in Hawaii. There's not much in there as far as any racial overtones. I did keep one small thing in there that you get to at the end of the book, but a very important part that I kept in. But at any rate, after I threw those out, ladies, I sat down in the afternoon at the TV, turned it on, and guess what I turned to? The results of the Iowa caucus. Do you remember
mm-hmm.
back that far? And I realized, what has happened? I said, these people, almost all white people, Caucasians, have made this man the next president. And so his message of let's work together and try to make things work is what I've got to do, too. And I made the right decision. And the very next publishing house we sent it to, which was New Page Books, Career Press, sent me a very nice letter along with the contract. And I really think you and I wouldn't be talking today, ladies, if I hadn't made that change. I think it was enough that it was a little distasteful for most people to have to read some of my, I thought were mild rantings and ravings, but still it's not something. So I realize now that was an exercise in my giving up racism, so to speak, coming to a place
mm-hmm.
like Hawaii where everyone has to get along. And then, lo and behold, when I'm 2, 3, 4 months into country music without realizing it, I mean, really, without giving any thought to what I used to think, well, this is redneck this, this and that, I'll never do that, I was missing an important part of my education, that some of those country songs are fantastic.
Yeah,
so
they're amazing.
A lot of credit, yes.
Yeah. Now, one of my co-hosts had a question for you. Maureen, did you want to ask Dr. Turner your question? I have no idea what it is. Maureen?
I was rewind a little bit back. I'm sorry. Rewind a little bit. I was on mute. I'm sorry. It was when you were talking about. I'm really into Union and Carl Jung. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him, and I always will. It is what it is. And also, you were talking about forgiveness, and also. And as it was back in the very beginning, so I don't know if I really should be. I just wanted to say that because. I kind of feel that we're unconsciously unconscious of our consciousness. We are. We're walking around, and you talked about forgiveness, and I thought it was really important because I feel really strongly about. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes, but she talks about there's so many stages of it, and so now that's already passed. So I'm going to let it go. But I just wanted to pinpoint out that I really. I was really glad that you brought those things up because they were very informative, and I think that was very helpful to our listeners. So I'll let the other part go. Thank you. Get it over with. Well, sure. I mean, it was gotten so long into, so it's okay. Thanks, Sharon. I mean, thanks for that, Nancy, Sharon, Phil. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Marie. Well, that is very important. And again, I'm sorry to harp on country music, but this guy, Tim McGraw, sings this one song. He's got great writers. It's called I've Got Friends That Do. And he talks about various things people go through, like to lose your only son, to go out to save the world and get killed in a war, like, for example, happens in Iraq. I mean, you know, I dropped to my knees when my son came back from Iraq. His job was to take 60 men out and find those roadside bombs before the convoys left in the morning, right?
It's terrible.
And he told me that every night he would watch the sunset and meditate on dying because he never knew. So, but look, some people don't get their son to come back. And, you know, you just feel that when you hear some of these things. And you realize, wow, we've got to be thankful all the time that we, you know, we've got our daily bread, so to speak. You know, it's, what can
we're
I
very
say?
Lucky.
And I think, well, you know the story, ladies. There's not much to say because you know what I'm saying already.
Well, you know what? I think you're wonderful. You know, I really like your authenticity, too. It's really a breath of fresh air, so... That's, I won't interrupt you anymore. Sorry, Nancy.
You know, but
there you have it.
My third divorce, ladies, was from a lawyer. That's all I need to say. You have an idea of the kind of fires I went through. You know, I guess I had a silver spoon. I never had big problems with anything except relationships, right? And that was all I see now because of ego. And my second wife, who had but a high school education, told me one day, she said, Jack, and I was a resident in neurosurgery. I thought I was going to be God's gift to someone, right? She said, life is a series of learning experiences. She said, as soon as you finish one, the next one is waiting. And I remember I kind of chuckled, what are you talking about? I wasn't ready to listen, I guess, because I didn't listen. I just blindly went through what I thought I should be going through, and the waking up process hadn't even started then, but at least she tried to wake me up, but she just couldn't be forceful enough. I guess I was just too dynamic then for people to deal with. But
she was a stepping stone.
Once you go through that stage of humility, once a man or a person finishes that, then these other doors will start to open. At least that's what the kahunas in Hawaii seem to think, that are stages that a man goes through, and the last one being humility. You've got to go through that.
Yeah, you kind of have to experience it. And, you know, in the book it's all about, you know, the spiritual world and things like that. It's quite a fascinating story. But is there, there was a quote, I took this out of your book as well, is there a spiritual world that awaits us after death?
Well, after the book was published, as I told you about people like Raymond Moody and and others who have studied life, death, afterlife, consciousness, you know, I began to try to learn, well, what really happens? And I think I hope we're not running too short on time, because I do want to tell...
Oh, no, we have lots of time.
Yeah, I want to tell this one quick story that happened. There is a producer named Nick Mendoza who's working on a project called Quantum Wisdom. And as a result of that, he's interviewed several people just to talk on spiritual matters, and one is a friend of mine, Dr. Eldon Taylor. I don't know if you're familiar with his Hay House radio show.
Tuesday
called Provocative Enlightenment. Well, you know, he studied the mind for 25 years, so when I first knew I was going to be on his show, I really tried to prepare to answer his question, where is the mind, right? And since then, we've become friends. I've been on many of his shows. We've talked about EVP and enlightenment and all kinds of things. But he was there in L.A. on a soundstage along with Whitney Strieber and his wife. You're familiar with them, right? Right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's a novelist, right? He wrote Wolf and the movie. And then, of course, the abduction things and that picture of the alien on his book, his first book, is one that's passed down with the oval-shaped eyes and all that stuff. So he's a very good novelist, and The Day After Tomorrow is a recent movie based on one of his books. But he was there with his wife on the stage, and there were four of us, and they asked us just to basically have a little rap session about spirituality. So first Anne, she's a very lovely lady, his wife, started talking about her experiences with her dying mother and all this. And then Whitley talked about his things, and then Eldon. And finally it was my turn to talk. And I said, well, you know, I don't have a lot to say, but I do have some favors I'd like to ask of all of you. So they said, well, what's that? I said, Hilo, where I'm from, is not a big city, you know, maybe 50, 60,000, small little place. But there's a downtown Shakespeare on the Park where I'm producing a play, which is a short story of my life. I said, I have three parts that are open, and I'd like to know if maybe I can coerce you into coming to play these parts. So that took them by surprise, and they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, Anne, look, the part of my mother is still open. I haven't found the right person, but as I watch you smile and watch you talk, I'd like to offer that to you. And she blushed, and she said, well, I'm not an actor. I said, well, look, Anne, if you can do a good job, just think how great this will be. It'll be good. And she said, well, I might do that for you. And then I came to Whitley. I said, now, Whitley, I've got to mind for you a dastardly part. You're going to be a man that takes everything I have, drains my bank account to times where I'm less than a dollar in my pocket. And you're going to boldly do this right in my face. He said, well, I don't think. I said, listen, if you can do it, this will be a great play and you'll be congratulated. I want you to try. So he agreed, and then Dr. Taylor agreed that he'd play a part where he's going to do the same thing to me, but behind my back, right? Right, and really put me through some serious things. And they all agreed, and then I said, look, let me explain why I ask you this. I'm not putting on any play at all, but I'm glad you agreed to do this. It shows me that you care. I was on a show called Forever Family Organization, right? And they believe that we incarnate in soul families, and this is what I believe. And I believe that in one of these spiritual dimensions, we come together, and we make plans for our next incarnation. And for me, this time, I had to work on forgiveness. That was obvious in relationships. So somebody had to agree to incarnate with me and play the bad guy. So if they're successful, how can we hate them? If the three of us were here talking, four of us, and we did that play, you would expect to be mad because you did a great job, would you? And I said, no. I said, well, it's the same thing in life. Those people who are teaching us lessons, we've got to actually, stranger than they sound, we've got to really love them because they did a good job.
Yeah, they taught us something.
Exactly.
Now, over the last little while, we've been emailing back and forth getting ready for the show, and I have to say it's been very, very interesting. And at one point I shared with you that I had a very bad car accident and sustained a head injury. And you asked me a very interesting question. It was a quote from somewhere that after I regained consciousness, did I return to the same world I left, or did I slip into one of the infinite number of parallel universes that from every time a person faces a decision?
Yes, right. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
I get to test people's reaction to this almost on a daily basis. You know, I do consulting work now. I don't know how it is where you ladies live, but where I live, a medical doctor will not see a patient that was involved in an auto accident. They'll leave the emergency room, but if they go to their regular doctor, they'll say, I'm sorry, I don't see auto accident cases. Same with workers' compensation. If you fall off a ladder, your regular doctor won't take that case. And this is something the insurance companies have done as they're making their record profits. They've increased the paperwork, and they made it just not affordable to do that kind of work. Mm-hmm. But I told you I was able to take care of my mother. She passed away at age 99.
Yeah.
She only talked about passing once when she said, Jack, when I look back on my life, I have no regrets. That was her only mention of anything because she was always helping. So after she passed, I realized that if I just sat around having fun, I've got to get back to work. So now I see patients on a limited basis to help because the chiropractors are the only ones that will take these patients. And they're in a little bind because they can't send a patient for physical therapy or a massage unless an MD gives the okay. So I'm in a helpful position, and I get to talk to people now early on after their accident, which before I would see them way later after all the therapy failed and they needed surgery, right? But now they're describing their accidents, right? And I want to tell you about the very first guy. This was almost 2 years ago. He's telling me how he's seeing me that day because a pin in a plate in his leg had come loose by his ankle. And I said, well, tell me the story of how this happened. He said, well, 2 years ago, in Las Vegas. I was working there, and I was in the back of a car coming home in the afternoon. So why not? I went to sleep, and I woke up. It was pitch black at night. The car was rolling, and it slammed into a brick wall. And he said, when I looked down, I saw the bone jutting out of my leg and the blood spurting.
Oh.
I said, well, man, what'd you do? He said, well, my foot was on fire, too. He said, I kicked out that back window somehow. I climbed out, and I went to the driver's door, and I tried to pull the guy out. But when he got halfway out, his legs were blazing, both on fire. And the other passenger was blazing on fire. He said, then I don't remember.
Wow.
He said, I know I was in a Las Vegas hospital. They operated on my leg. He said, I vaguely remember bright lights and that kind of stuff from that. He said, but it's like a fog. He said, it's gone. So I said, well, look around here. Now, today, my friend, you and I are talking 2 years later. We're in a fairly modern new office. So look around you, x-ray view box, all this stuff. I said, now look at this. Is it possible, because I've been in a bad accident years ago too, but is it possible that you and I are both dead and we just don't know it? That guy sat up and he looked at me and he said, you know, you're the second person to ask me that.
Isn't that amazing?
I really don't know. He said, I really don't know. So I told him, I said, look, my suggestion is to watch that movie Passengers. It was about a year old then. I said, that studies what happens if we're not prepared for this death that we call death, and then when the transition happens, we may not be able to recognize it, and we may need help through it. And that movie deals with that. So I would still recommend that to anyone who's never really thought about what happens next, because it might be worthwhile to take time and really plan for this way in advance, like my son did in Iraq.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to be prepared for things like that. Now, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I really want to thank you again for coming on. It's so interesting. And I know I'll probably finish the book tonight because, like I said, I just found it fascinating and could have put it down. So is there another book in the future for you?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that, and the more I think about it, the more I think, well, this book, I know, has touched at least one person in a significant way, and that was my goal in writing the book. I wasn't out to make any money from this book. It was the fact that if it could help only one person, it would have been worth it. So I think now what I've got to do, I'm prepared for that next level. Who knows when that's going to happen, but until then, I'll try to do the best I can by talking with people like you ladies and your listeners to at least share them the way I think it seems to work. But thank you for having me on your show.
And I really encourage everybody to check out your website and to get a copy of the book. Again, it's called Medicine, Miracles, and Manifestations. And I think you can order it online at all the various book sites. So you can find out more about Dr. John Turner on his website, which is www.johnturner.com. And you can also find out more about Dr. Turner on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So again, Dr. Turner, I really want to thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insight, and it was really nice to spend this hour with you, because I know you're really busy and you have all these things. I noticed in your book you've just really dedicated yourself to educating yourself on the metaphysical and sharing your positive insight with everybody. So thank you for that, and thank you for coming on the show.
And thank you so much, and let's do it again. I get back in November after seeing John of God, then I'll really be able to tell you some metaphysical things.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. This is from Maureen. I really appreciate you. You're great.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Good night.
I liked him.
He's a doll.
He said he went by the name Jack. Did he say Jack?
Yeah.
He's my father's name is John. He goes by Jack. But everything he's all about, I want to read his book.
Have to read the book. I tell you, like, I kept putting it off because I was busy. But it just, I hate to say this word, Maureen, but it resonated with me.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
And the picture, and when I picked it up, I was like, I couldn't put it down.
Well, yeah, and plus his, oh, echoing. Plus, he shared his personal experience. Of course, about caring for his mother. Everything, and my daughter's a neurosurgeon. I mean, a neuroscience major. Just so many, I could identify with so many parallels in what he was talking about. I think I just thought he was just so wonderful, authentic. Thank you, Nancy, for having him.
Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I'd like to take a moment to make a few short announcements. And be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. And each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. And we all have a video, an introductory video as well. And many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those high standards. And I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity. So my reputation is safe. And you'll find all the co-hosts tonight here on the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccess.com.
Welcome to Talk.
If you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd all love to hear from you.
You may access.
And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. So for more details on that, you can visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you liked our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everyone, so please spread the word. We'd very much appreciate it. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. So now I'm going to take some time to chat with my distinguished panel of co-hosts, and I have some questions. Sharon?
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay. I have a great interview.
Very down to earth and very knowledgeable. He's really taken the time to learn about all these amazing things and educate himself in the metaphysics. And it's just all the information in the book I was reading, I was going, wow, you know?
Yeah, and he's so humble, too.
So humble, yeah. Such a nice man.
It's good.
Yeah, and so your question is, a wise psychic said something just the other day to you about unconditional love, and what is it? What was it?
Well, what she said to me was that sometimes we think that we can only get unconditional love from one person, but sometimes there's people all around us that are giving us, like, let's say we lack it from one person, we'll get it from the other person, and it's kind of like a group kind of thing. So you'll always get what you need. It's just you might not get it from one person. You could get it from lots of people. And I thought that was kind of neat. So I decided to share that.
Yeah, that's a nice way to look at it. Interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then what is the foundation for unconditional love to you anyway?
Are you talking to me?
is your name Maureen?
I think so. Oh, thank you, Nancy. Great interview. Really want to say it again. Anyway, yes. And I probably really bore people with Uni and the Carl Jung. I'm just really, okay. You know what? Who's snoring is that? Phil?
I'm snoring.
No, Phil's is a lot
Phil's
more like,
muted.
Phil is Darth Vader.
Phil said that, yeah. Anyway, thank you for that, Nancy, because I snore a lot and I can talk about it. Anyway, when we allow ourselves to understanding the impact of our actions and have not only ourselves but the planet we live on, really, we can realize this necessity to take loving action. And I work on that. It's very difficult. But we have the power to correct conditions of what's going on. So within as well, we affect the whole world we live in with unconditional love. We really do. So there are many ways to apply love in our everyday lives. So this is like the foundations. It's like a little bit longer. Well, it's not the whole show, but there's a lot of times we do not care of ourselves. So it is, virtually impossible to feel and share love with the world around us. So as an act of self-love, we can begin to educate ourselves and learn to take care of our physical bodies and not be narcissistic, of course, and as well to keep our thoughts and feelings, emotions loving. So practice constant acts of kindness is really good. It is something that would really help for those. Because unconditional love is difficult. And also, you can bring kindness upon this planet again. So forgiveness, like you said, he touched on that, is the easiest and most important act of the act of kindness that you can make. So both for yourself and for others. And that activity would promote, you know, harmony and oneness with everything else with the world. Also, this magnificent planet, which it is, which we just are cleaning up, is filled with opportunities to experience love, respect, and joy. And that's when, so when we as individuals realize our potential to love unconditionally, we'll transform ourselves and to the planet at the same time. It can't get any better than that. So such is a power we ward off every moment of the day. So the choice is ours, of course, to create a world of joy and happiness, good and will. I don't mean to get all woo-woo about, I'm not woo-woo, actually it's not. But I know it's something, it's a big thing, but really just a little bits of it. So that every moment, every day is a new beginning. So this can be a powerful mantra of affirmation. So the meaning held in these words open us to like a new way of living and experiencing life. And I work on doing those every day myself. So, but each moment holds a new beginning of possibility. So if we could just let go of what we perceive or believe, well, you know, I don't believe in belief, but just so I know, but is before what is before us, and allow our personal potential to shine through, just start each day as a new journey of self-discovery and let go. That is what, I can't go through, it'll get too long, but there's the power of peace and so on and everything. But that is some steps to take that really it will come easy, because it is hard. Yeah, there you have it.
It is. It's very good.
Hope you followed me. Yes.
I did.
Oh, good.
I did.
Great.
And my cat's all excited now. He's meowing
well,
his head
yay.
Off. So,
yeah. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you. So, Phil, on Dr. Turner's website, he has brain sounds to promote relaxation and visualization. Have you ever heard or listened to such a thing?
I have, and I do. And I didn't get to listen to his yet, but I'll do it tomorrow, and everyone probably should if you've never done it before. But I listen to, I guess for lack of a better word, white noise tapes.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of like raindrops with little tings going in it. And I listen to at least 15 minutes a day just to sink my brain, to put me on the right plane emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And they're great, so I'm looking forward to listening to his tomorrow.
Yeah, I had a question about that, actually, and I didn't get to it. So, yeah.
You can ask me. I can make something up.
no, that's okay. Thank you very much, though, for the offer.
Okay.
See ya. Thank you. And Sharon, what do you think is the secret to unconditional love?
I think. Well, it's what you put out. Like, you know what I mean. If you can catch yourself and try not to not you in particular, like us as people, like try to send out. You know, try not to judge and try to forgive and try to send out as much love as you can. And then I think eventually that just will come back to you. Like, I know that sounds kind of easy, but
it's true. It's
yeah,
simple.
Just catch
simplest,
yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's good to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, so.
Great. Thank you.
And I'm glad Phil was trying to help you there.
Yeah, well, that kind of help I don't need.
I'm just kidding. All right.
And Maureen, what does God say about unconditional love?
Well, he told me the other day... no, you know, I have no problem saying the word God. You know, I used to in my 30s, maybe only 30s. But everybody, I don't. And God, you know, God's in my heart. And you can call, I want to make that clear because some people have issues with that. But, or your higher power, whatever you want to say, but I call that to God. So, you know, it's almost like you cannot learn to love God with ego. It's also ego plays a part in unconditional, of course, love. So your ego has nothing to do with learning to love yourself or others. I make that perfectly clear. Higher consciousness is entered freely for its own sake and emerges by facing and embracing any darkness within the self is very important. That's where unconditional love can really to thrive if you can get in embracing the darkness. So here in the fundamental lesson of it all is that loving the divine, like I said, God or whoever, self and others unconditionally are one of the same. So to enter mystical consciousness, we experience directly all the pain and suffering within and without. This consciousness relate. That's what he was kind of saying too about Carl Jung, the consciousness stuff. And so it reflects and reminds us of the poverty of spirit that remains collectively among all human beings. So this is not material poverty, but the material of losing touch with meaning and purpose, knowing true self within and with others, and real service to each other is what this is about. God, I hope you followed me there.
Yes.
There you have it.
Yes, clear as mud.
I like that. Mud is clear. Thanks, Nancy. I'm very passionate about that.
It's very, very nice. Thank you. And Phil, is remote viewing real, and do you use it in your work?
Oh, there's the mute. Clear as mud. You can hear me clear as mud now.
I can hear you clear as mud.
Okay. Remote viewing. He was talking about astral projection. He's got remote viewing on his website. But yeah, it's real. Real enough that the U.S. government dropped $20 million into it for the Stargate project.
Wow.
And the CIA was involved in it, and along with the Air Force and the Army. So they basically got a bunch of remote viewers together to gather information. And the cool thing is one of them actually got awarded the Legion of Merit Medal, which is the sixth highest medal you can get. And that was for determining 150 essential elements of information that were unavailable from any other source.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty good proof that it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I use it in my work?
Yes.
I do. You knew the answer to that. You must be psychic.
I work at psychicaccess.com.
You have to be psychic to work there, or we don't let you in. But I do in different situations, and only if I have permission to do so. So I've done my version of remote healing to remove unwanteds or attachments for other psychics and mediums who are playing where they shouldn't be playing. And I'll use it. It's tough to use doing a regular reading, but I'll use it for, if someone asks, what was her reaction to that text I sent her? I have to get in a space and remote view and watch her look at the text and, see what the reaction was. So, yeah, it's real. It's out there. It's fun to play with.
Okay. Are you watching right now?
No, you didn't give me permission.
I'm just kidding. Okay, Sharon, how important is unconditional love in connection with our life purpose, do you think?
I think that's why I'm glad Phil said that you need permission to be doing things like that. So that's so true.
Yes.
I think that's why we're here. I think we're just all here to figure out that. Like, we're just all to figure out love and what we have to do to get rid of in order for us to be in that space.
Yeah.
And again, simplicity, but that's the way I feel. So
I agree. You can't have life without love.
No. And I think that's why we're all here, really. But I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with me, but I do think that.
Yeah.
So, good. That's
okay.
Neat.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And Phil, how much free will do we have, do you think?
Hi.
Hello.
that's actually a rough question. It's been debated for a couple million years now, but I believe, simply put, that we're able to make our own choices whether they're right or wrong. So we do have free will. Doesn't mean we're right. I mean, you can choose to walk across the street when the light turns and tells you to walk, or not to walk, and you can walk anyways, but you can get a ticket or you can get hit by a car, but we do have that choice to do that. psychic percentage on it, but yeah, we can do whatever we want, even if it's against what we're supposed to be doing.
And then each instance has a ripple effect then.
And correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you can have that boyfriend, you can chase him, even though we're telling you, the universe is telling you, go run, go away, you can still make that decision that you want to pursue and try to get a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Which comes up a lot in readings.
Yeah, or you can be, someone can be totally into you, but it's not a healthy relationship, so you decide to leave.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there, the free will is out there.
Yeah, totally, I agree. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Maureen, is free will out there? Sorry, Nancy.
I think you know what? Free will of me not jumping in is me leaving now, bye. I like that. There you have it. There's the answer.
Okay. Well, I think we've come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. Am I correct? And you can either call in or ask your questions in the chat room. If we have time, we do take questions in chat. And when you call, the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. And no one will answer your call. Just when your call comes in, you'll be placed on hold automatically. Just relax and listen to the show while you wait. And you will be able to speak to us when you're placed on the air. When you do call, please try to be very specific with your question, and this will enable us to focus and hone in more directly on your area of interest. So we're going to take calls in a few minutes, but there was a few questions that I had that I didn't get a chance to ask Dr. Turner, and one was on the download that he has on his site of the, I'm just trying to find the question here, brain sounds, and It is on his site, so if you want to check that out, you can download it and listen to it. And it's like Phil said, I believe it's a relaxation meditation type thing. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to listen to it because I was too busy reading his wonderful book. But I do plan on, as Phil said he would too, downloading it and doing that tomorrow. And he does actually have a sound studio in his home. So that's interesting. So he's able to record these wonderful meditation sounds and relaxation things. And it's probably a blend of things that works on the mind and the brain to relax it, as it says. So we do have a caller, and our first reader is Phil. So, Phil, we have a caller from Indiana.
Hello,
Indiana. Am I on? Indiana, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I guess what my main question is, I'm very close with my boss at work, and she is very concerned that she has breast cancer, and she's being diagnosed, but she's having all of the different tests and whatnot, and right now we're kind of in a waiting stage with the doctors to get the different results back and whatnot, and I guess, do you see anything that, you know, it's going to be a long journey ahead for her, or anything like that?
All right, let me toss down a couple cards here. And can I get your first name and hers?
My name is Joe, and her name is Kathy.
Okay. All right, we want to know how Kathy's going to do. Sorry, it wants to put a lot of cards down. Okay. Alright, it looks like long journey is, yes, is she going to be fine? The end result's going to be fine. It's going to be a long journey. She really needs to keep her energy up right now because she's kind of in a very emotional spot. But a lot of things are going to change. She's got a lot of different kind of results coming in. It's going to take a while for them to figure out exactly what's going on is what I'm getting. She's going to need group support when it comes time, and I don't know if she's keeping it a secret. I'll assume she's keeping it to a minimum right now. But she really needs to just try to stay emotionally balanced, if you can help her with that. Keep her on the happy side, because it's on her mind all the time. Okay? And I see she's going to lose a lot of energy soon, too, so you need to keep her energy up. So she's worried a lot about what's going on, obviously. Now, what was your more specific question, Joe?
I mean, I guess that really was the most specific thing that I had, just kind of what's coming, since she hasn't officially been diagnosed or anything yet. I mean, do you see her continuing to work? Is she going to need to, you know, resign from her job? Do you see anything like that?
Let me see. Let me just go to the pendulum. I'm not feeling she's going to have to resign. No, she's not going to have to resign from her job. I'm just kind of really getting a lot of emotion over the next month or so while things are going on. And I don't want to say specifically if anything's right or wrong with her.
Right.
Just because of that. Ooh. Big lightning storm, but she needs to keep her strength up is what keeps coming up, so you need to do that. She's going to lose a little time at work, but it's not going to affect her financially at all, so it's more like running to the doctors, things like that, keeping appointments. So I don't see her losing a lot of time at work at all out of this. Okay?
Very good.
And
all right, well, that definitely helps.
And I guess we got one more message for you at the end.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of a, I think I'm getting a time frame in here. There you are. All right. So you're going to be, you're going to play kind of her balance role, her analytical role, help her interpret things. You're actually going to help her make some choices and explain things that are going on. It feels like you kind of understand the charts, the graphs, and all that, and can put it into English for her.
Okay, that would make sense.
Okay. All right, so cool. Yeah. But the end result is she's going to be fine no matter what they call, and she's not going to lose a lot of time at work, and just keep her emotionally strong and keep her going. All right, Joe?
Will do. Thank you very much for your help.
All right. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Great reading.
Oh, yes.
Very nice.
And the next caller is from Georgia, and it's for Maureen.
Hi, Georgia. Calling from Georgia. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi. Yeah, this is Maureen.
Hi.
Okay, what's your name?
Hurt me not. I was calling. I had a phone interview on Monday, and I was trying to see if it'll move to the next level and hopefully get an offer.
Right. I'm sorry, what was your name?
Kathy. I'm sorry.
Kathy. No, that's okay. Hi, Kathy. Okay, so Monday, you already had the Monday interview, right? And so now, okay, I got it. You want to know if the next step would be, hopefully, yeah, I got it. Good job. Okay, and you're calling from Georgia. All right. Well, you know, the feeling I'm getting is, did you interview with a woman on Monday?
No, it was a man on Monday, but it was a woman on Friday.
Oh, okay. So you've had two. Well, the woman on Friday, you know, this is, it's not, the woman on Friday, if you felt that there was something off on that one, the reason I'm asking you is because I'm picking up on this woman, and it's almost like she's a good person, but her lower vibrational self she gets into is her expectations are so high of herself, and she's having a rough time. Now, I don't know what this job is about or anything like that, but is she, if you picked up on any of your intuition, only could do this, but she seemed a little bit, I don't know, not so enthusiastic. It has nothing to do with the interview process, because I feel very good about it looks like springtime I see thriving along, so my feelings are yes. And it's springtime, I feel that yes, you're heading the direction to get this. I don't know how many more. Would you have two more type of interviews before they make would there be two more you'd have to go through?
I'm thinking maybe one more. I thought I would have heard from them by now. That's what makes me a little bit nervous to see if they're going to call me or not call me.
Okay, I understand. And I feel the only reason why they haven't is because this woman that you last spoke to, I think, is having a really rough time with her sense of, like, a depression or something. She's a great woman, very successful business type. But she's having some internal, it has nothing to do with the interview. I think it might be delayed that you may have not heard. But I feel it's going to go very well. And not only that is, I feel in March, which is the early spring, it's going to be a new beginning from this, or a new opportunity that will come from this. And like I said, I don't know exactly what this job is, or career, you know, with your position and all that, but it looks very positive. The money, there's been some delay of money coming to you, or that should have come to you, and it's still in delay, but... you know, this is very interesting because I think that some of your wishes and desires have changed around, and I feel that this is a good opportunity. Is this something that you feel you really will have a good connection, or is this a job that you're just going to think you want to do just because? And the reason why I'm asking you is because it could be a lot more than that if that's the
What's
only thing
the
you're thinking.
Again?
Do you follow me?
No.
Okay, is
I'm
this
not
a,
sure what
you really want
me.
This position, whatever it is? Do you really
uh-huh.
want this? Is this something you really connect with?
Yeah, I do.
This,
yeah,
okay.
I think it's yeah. A mix between accounting and computers, and that
okay.
would be a great fit for me. And I think
okay.
it's a great
that's
opportunity.
That's what I was asking. This is almost like, you know, you might even look at this may be an ordinary opportunity starting out. It's going to be really grand. I feel it's going to be, and also, there's a great new feeling in March that you can even take it, you'll go even further. That will be a direct reflection from you being, I feel you're going to get it. I think the delay has to do with maybe her not pissing
off.
You may not have two more. It may be it. I think you might be it.
Call me for the interview and then...
you'll get the job. I don't think you'll have two more interviews or anything like that. I think that'll be it.
One more interview?
I don't even think one more interview. I know if they say so, I don't feel that that's the case. I could be wrong, but I feel that she's the one that will be the last one that has interviewed you, and you'll get the news. I think it's just going to be delayed. It might be delayed five more days, and it'll look like, oh, you're never going to get it. But you know what I do? I would call up. I would touch base with them, and that
okay.
shows that you're really interested anyway.
Now, I have a kind of a clarification, because you keep speaking of the woman. The woman is really just kind of the recruiter hiring person. The man is the person that would actually be reporting to, so I don't kind of
right.
follow why she would be the holdup.
Well, the fact of it is, maybe she's a recruiting person, but maybe there's some stuff going on with her, and she's not yet... You know, she's important, whoever she is still. And she may have taken some time off or something and has kind of held it up. That's all. For personal reasons. That's what I'm getting. It's nothing more than that. I just feel that it would be a good idea for maybe you to touch base with them. It wouldn't hurt. It would be a win-win.
Okay. And the man was okay with me that would actually be my boss?
Part of me? What?
The male that interviewed me on Monday, is he okay with hiring me? Is he all
okay.
set that wants to hire me?
No, I feel that everything feels very positive. They do want, I mean, it's very positive. They want you. I just think there's a little bit, because there's, you know, sometimes things happen and people, while they're doing the process, and maybe she's, they really respect her, let's put it this way. They have regard for what she thinks about the person, the last person, the woman. So, yeah, I feel that it's very positive, but I think that maybe you might want to check in. And just see how's it going. It wouldn't hurt. I do see you getting this. I really do. And not having to go through a third.
Do you have a time frame when you think I will get it?
Well, you know, my suggestion to you, you know, it could be another week delayed maybe. But I feel that no one else they haven't found anybody else. But I feel that you should actually call and say thank you for the, you know, how people do. And when I used to hire people for a business company, I loved it when they called me. If I hadn't gotten back to them. And a lot of times...
I did send a thank you letter on Monday night, which he got on Tuesday. So
I did
do that follow-up. So are you saying I should follow up again?
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh, absolutely. Especially if what I'm seeing is correct with her. Yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely do that.
Okay.
All good would come from that. It wouldn't have any harm. And you could get it, and things would get expedited faster. But I feel that you're going to get this, absolutely. I really do.
Okay.
And you're going to have a lot of great opportunity from this when it's going to lead to something really even more so. You won't be bored with this. Yeah.
Okay.
I hope
Thank
I helped you.
You.
I know I sometimes I get going and stuff, but I hope I followed you, but it... Sometimes things happen. People don't. Things aren't what they appear to be. I feel that they want you very much so. But I would definitely contact them. Okay, I hope I helped you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Maureen. That was wonderful. And next is a call from New Jersey for Sharon.
Yep. Hi, New Jersey. Are you there with us?
I'm Sharon. How are you?
Good. What's your name, please?
Deborah.
Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Did you have
a question for me tonight?
Yeah. Tonight, I'm feeling really down in my stomach and whatever because I'm waiting for a phone call from my friend. But my main concern is I'm on a job that I really, really wanted. I work for the government, so I was bred to this area. Do you see me getting a job as a medical coder in the same building, which will be, like, more money and more of a supervisory position? Well, not a supervisor, but a coder where the supervisors are more strict with their rules. Because we have a young lady that comes to work whenever she wants to. And it's like, with the lack of jobs, you would think she would be more in tune with her job. I just need something more professional. Do you see that for me? And my phone call, I'm waiting for that as well.
Okay. All right. So let me see. So now you're with the government, and you're going to stay with the government, right?
Yes. I want to retire from the facility I'm at now because I got back there from New Jersey. I'm in Maryland. I like the job because they first sent me to an Air Force base, but now with the Army, again, which I'm really happy. I love where I'm at. I love where I live. Everything is just perfect. The job I have is something it's new to me because I worked in a lab for 20-some years. But the management don't seem to be strict with their rules, and I'm a medical coder, and I would like to work in a coding department.
Right.
Which is
I'll just tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing in the end of August, I'm seeing that you're going to get a hint of an opportunity, and Spirit says you're going to have to pursue it. Like I feel that there's like a board there or something with jobs, or you get the jobs on some kind of screen or something. And they're saying you kind of have to grab it right away and pursue it. But I do see September. I see that you're very happy at work. I feel like it's like it feels new. It feels like you're learning. It feels like that some schooling that you've kind of forgot about is going to come in real handy. And I'm feeling a little bit more money to start. It doesn't feel like garbage bags full or anything to start, but it's going to get you to where you want to go. And then I'm feeling again, like, so I feel August, you're going to find out about it. September, you're going to probably be learning in it. And then I kind of go to February and I'm feeling like I'm just seeing opportunities all over the place. So I feel that they're going to be forming a department or forming something which you're going to have an opportunity to be part of. And there's like going to be a lot of learning there. Now, as far as your friend, how long has it been since you've talked to her?
A year.
A year, okay. I would get in. Does she have a sister? I know we're only allowed one question, but I just feel guided to answer this. Does she have a sister?
Yes, she does.
Okay. Spirit's saying to contact the sister.
I kind of like kept away from everybody because of the situation.
Right.
And it's the type of situation that I can't take the step because she told me to stay out of her life. So I'm thinking at this point,
I think if you just said, you know what, I just want to make sure she's okay. And I think that would be accepted. I feel that they're itching to get back in your life anyway. So I think it'll all be fine. Just it's really important that you call the sister even if it's for closure. So I just feel that would be a good idea. So while Spirit feels that would be a good idea. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you. You'll be back. Thank you.
All right. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sharon. That was great.
Okay.
And next we have a caller from New York City for Phil.
Hey, New York City.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm Anne. I have kind of a strange question. It's unusual.
Okay.
So I was in a dream. I was sleeping. It was at night. I fell in a dream. And I knew I was in a dream. And then I went to, like, it sort of felt like I went to something else, unknown, and it scared me, and I tuned out right away, but I don't know what that something else was.
You were in a dream, a lucid dream, you were going somewhere, and you stopped yourself from going, yes?
Well, it's sort of like mentally went to something. It almost felt like, for a second, I thought I was meditating within a dream, but then it felt scary.
Okay, and you didn't go there.
Well, I was there for a few seconds and I tuned out.
Okay, did you learn anything while you were there? Because
no.
I go to the dark side a lot in dreams.
No, I didn't learn anything. Where was I?
Where were you?
Yeah.
Where were you?
I mean,
what did you see? Can you help me at all?
I didn't see anything. It just kind of was kind of dark, and it felt weird.
It was just dark, and okay. You get a dark card up at front. All right. I can't tell you exactly where you were, but your first card up is a very dark card, not clear, solitude, things to that nature. And I'm thinking you went to somebody's house. Do you have, like, relatives that are fighting a lot?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I have a friend who's psychic who told me that I went to the other side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you went to the dark side, yeah.
Okay.
You didn't die or anything. I mean, there's the dark side, there's the light side.
Is the other
side... Not everything in the spirit world is happy.
Wait, so is the dark side is the world of the spirits, of the dead?
And beyond, yes.
Okay, so why was I there?
Why were you there?
Yeah.
My guess is somebody wanted to tell you something, or you were there to learn a lesson. If you... Just a quick... If you were to split the universe in half, you're going to have positives and negatives, just like karma. So you're going to have the higher light or the higher vibration forms, and then you're going to have the lower vibrations, and even the lower vibrations have a hierarchy on that side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Both sides have information that they can give you. So, and usually when you go there, you're going to go see the dark side first. It's to let you know that it's all real. It kind of shocks you and go, oh no, it's real. So I wouldn't be concerned. Go ahead and go there. If you go in the dream again, you can always walk away, but ask why you're there. Don't just shut yourself off real quick.
Okay. So, in other words, I was supposed to get information and I never got it because I kind of went away from it really quickly.
Because you get scared, you ran away, yes. And you can get information, and if you don't like them, then you can tell them to go away. I usually just ask them, do you have a message for me, yes or no?
Okay.
Because sometimes they'll show up just to scare you. So ask them if they have a message for you. And if they don't, then say, okay, go away.
Okay. Who would be giving me a message? A friend or relative or?
It could be anybody. It could be a low-level entity. It could be anything.
Okay.
But since it was all dark for you, then I'm going to go with it. It was the dark side. It was the darker side of the universe. And they're just saying hello and giving you a message. But it's going to feel weird when it comes in because you're kind of going to get the chills and your body's going to know that it's not in a happy place. But if you just go with it and ask for a message, if it happens again, then you'll see what's going on.
Okay.
I wish I could give you a deeper, but yeah. You'll be fine. Go ahead and go there. And if you don't like it, just tell them to go away.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Phil. And our next caller is for Maureen, and it's someone from New York.
Hi, caller from New York. This is Maureen. I love New York. I love everything about it. Hi, New York. In fact, I'm in the West Coast, and I'm going to start singing the rap song, but is New York there? Should I start singing on Broadway? Doug's saying something maybe is going on with New York. New York. Okay, let's move to Arizona. In fact, I will not move there. My brother lives there, but how about Arizona? Hi, Arizona.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? And what's your name?
My name is Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie? Anne Marie.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Maureen, and I'm ready for you.
Okay, I guess what I'm wondering about, I have a court date coming up with my ex-husband, and it has to do with some plans that he has for moving and related to arrangements with our children, and we've been talking about trying to make an agreement, but there have been some things that have happened that caused me to not have a lot of trust.
Right.
And he also has a new girlfriend, and she's been very, seeming like she's trying to turn the kids away from me, seeming like
she's a troublemaker. She's a crazy maker, I call those types. I got you. Is he trying to go distant, as far away as maybe going out of state to live, not so close to, I guess.
About 5.5 hours.
Oh, that's enough. Okay, that's just wrong. Yeah. Okay, so this is a court date coming up on this Monday, did you say?
Next Wednesday, actually.
I guess Wednesday. Okay, and so I understand you want to know if there's anything that maybe you need to focus on directly, maybe that could be of more help for you to be successful, as well as the kids having success.
Yeah, I guess I'm also kind of wondering, do I really need to
remodify.
Be a lot concerned about this girlfriend. I mean, they seem pretty serious, and I'm concerned that some of the work that he does, maybe to do a lot of travel.
I know. And 5.5 hours away is a very long time from the kids, and this is difficult because you're going to have to go in the best interest of the children, of course. Are your children in the ages, or they're past 7, 8, 9, aren't they? I mean, they're not young.
One is 8, the other two are 12 and 13.
Okay, so the 8-year-old and the 12 and 13, okay. So this is the thing I'm getting. I feel that you have become, you've been very open and non-judgmental about the situation with the girlfriend up until what's going on. I think you have a little bit of valid fears about things, absolutely. But I do feel that you need, you're getting a lot of burden off your back because you've been carrying a lot of the weight for a long time with this. And you've been actually very easygoing. If that, do you follow me on that?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so it's on one hand, how many hands do we need? I don't know, but on this hand, on that hand, but I do feel that you've been very easy to deal with. You're not one of the other ones that, you know, the person will call up and go, well, my soon-to-be ex-wife is giving me trouble. You're not that at all. You've been very, like I said, wonderful, but I can see I would trust your intuition with things right now, especially yours. Whatever, you know, call it what you want. You know, I think that you would call it intuition, but some people call it gut, our pretty stomachs. I don't know. But okay. I do feel that you're thinking that there needs to be it's like before making a really major decision, you're trying to think through, your eyes are still closed, almost like in a meditative state of what you need to really do. And my feelings are, that you're thinking this could cause a lot of, and I do see that it could, but the way I read it is you can have any negative be a positive, you know? I feel that you should, because you have been very unconditionally, what we were talking about earlier, unconditionally all for what's the best interest of the children, and I feel strongly that you have, not just that you're saying so. With that said, I would feel, I'm not on anybody's side, but I'm on the same page as with what you are because of some of your concerns, your newer concerns, and I feel that you should try to write down and on paper what would be ideal, even if it's a little bit of a compromise, but not so much as it was before because now you're having a little bit of feelings about, especially being 5.5 hours away. I say that's even a bigger concern. I think that's too far away for a man to be away from his children anyway. When people divorce, I do, but that's just my take.
Yeah, well, I kind of tried to talk to him about even holding off with the move a bit because it's fairly recent since the divorce, and I just think it would be better for the kids if there was more adjustment.
Right, and that would be in the best interest of the kids. And you know what? I would ask and request that. Is there a reason why he has to move suddenly 5.5 hours? Is there something that's something that couldn't wait? Do you think he could wait?
Mostly for the girlfriend, I think.
Okay, so let's put it this way. Yes, I think if you don't do anything, if you rather, because a burden has been lifted, I can see that, but this is not a burden to do this. This is you're doing the right thing. You're a smart woman. My gosh, I love this because
you
need to, thank yourself, you own it. But yes, I wouldn't go attacking him because of the girlfriend, but no, he can stay here and I think you should try to modify it or what you're asking. And I feel that this will be, you will have success in this. Well, it's about the children, Will. And you're watching out for them. It's not about the jealous ex-wife. And if anybody tells you otherwise, I don't think you'll buy into it because it isn't. It's not you. You know,
that's
you're
not
just
jealous
great
at all.
So really I would suggest, yes, you definitely have reason to feel the way you're feeling, and I think that you're very grounded. And it's reasonable to ask, first of all, that he does not move right away. He waits. Especially for that 8-year-old, mm-hmm. He needs to be around closer. And if he is just doing it for a woman, then really he shouldn't be able to see them much at all, should he?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you would do that, but really I'm saying, yes, I would definitely kind of go in there with a couple different things that you want to address.
Okay.
I hope that helped you, but that's my, I feel very passionate about what I just told you, but you know what to do. I think you're absolutely right. Good for you. I like that. Everyone take note. Great woman here with unconditionally her children. No, thank you. It was
your
breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. So there you have it. And I wish you well. You don't need wishing well. You'll do fine.
Okay.
Do the right thing. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Maureen. And next we have a caller from New York for Sharon.
Hello, New York.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, my name is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. Did you have a question for me tonight?
Yeah, I'm wondering why Dan took me off Facebook and if he and Joe talk about me.
Okay, I'm feeling you're better off with him taking you off Facebook, actually. And I feel with Joe that kind of what you say and what he says goes, it almost feels like he enjoys being like the third wheel. Like he makes stories bigger than they are. Like he likes to be in the action. So I'm kind of feeling, I kind of feel like you might want to drop all that mess. Like it just kind of feels tangled and not, it just doesn't feel good for you. You know, is it possible to get rid of your feelings for this person?
For Joe or for Dan?
Well, what do you, like I feel it was Dan. Is it Dan that you were
yeah,
you were with?
I mean, I'm wondering yeah. why he took me off Facebook. Like why?
Right. I don't know. Like I wouldn't create this. And I wouldn't create too much about it, but I kind of feel like I kind of feel it's time to move on. I'm feeling like I want to push you forward. Like I feel like spirit's kind of got their back. They're pushing you with your back, trying to get you moved forward a bit. Because I feel there's someone waiting for you. Kind of, I'm going like about. I'm actually seeing August 27th, and I'm seeing you meeting someone that. I know that's kind of strange to go for the exact day, but I feel that there's like someone that's going to come into your life that's going to be. More understanding, more makes you feel good about yourself, you know? So it might be best to let go of this tangled web that you've woven. This sounds funny. But it almost feels like it's time to move on. Are you feeling that at all?
I mean, I care about them both a lot. Like, Dan, I yeah. feel like it's like a soulmate. Like,
well, you know, that's a big word. Like, yeah, I would kind of... I don't know. Like if he's taking
I've
me on
like
Facebook, we're not talking soulmate here.
A lot.
What? Just what? Sorry.
I've been picturing his hands a lot. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know. Maybe it's just you got to let go of his hands, or you just got to let go. You know, just kind of. I'm feeling the next week. It would be really good for you to kind of like kind of clear your head a bit and. You know, I almost feel like you're creating a lot of what ifs and oh my god, this happened, and you're creating all these scenarios in your head that might not have happened, and you're making yourself kind of you're crazy making yourself, and I just kind of feel like you want to take the next week and just let go, and just kind of every time you think about it, just surrender it up to the universe and just say whatever's meant to happen is going to happen, and I feel like you're gonna move beyond this person. How old are you now? Are you 27?
No, I'm
34. Oh, you're 34. Okay. Because it just seems like he's, like, it just feels a little childish the way he's behaving. So you don't need that. You don't need that in your life. Right? He's making your self-esteem kind of tumble. So I just say move forward. And I do feel, like I said, August 22nd, something's going to happen. It's going to really, really set the stage for a really, really good relationship. So just keep moving forward. Okay, stop with the what ifs and the I should have, and you know all those things that make life complicated, because it's not where you're meant to be. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You take care.
Okay. I think we're gonna take a question in chat, and it's Bubs. Cute name. I have a question. I would like to know if you see me starting my own business in the near future. Okay, I'm just doing a very quick shuffle here. And let's see. And I have my assistant with me tonight, Patty, the psychic cat. So he's given me some guidance here. Except he can't turn the cards because he has paws. Okay, well, I think what I'm seeing here is you're very determined and to have, and I think I've mentioned this before to somebody who called about having their own business, you really need to be determined and you have to be passionate about your business in order for it to succeed, and you have that, and the card around you and the other people around you with this business is they're going to recognize your strengths and your abilities to carry this forward, so it's going to be very successful. So there's success all around you, and the outcome is very positive as well. So you're going to be very resourceful, and at the same time you're going to be very you know, your ambition and your passion is going to carry you forward with that. And I think that around you I see some negativity and stuff and that, but it's just yourself in your mind. Like, there is going to be obstacles, as there is with anybody who's starting out in business, but it's just going to be the normal obstacles that we all face when we start out on our own. So if there's anybody involved with you at this point, they're going to be very positive supports for you, and I see some good news coming from somebody. So if there's something that you have to ask somebody, now is a good time if you're going for financial support or somebody to you know, work along with you or a partnership. This is a good time to reach out to somebody. So I see that in the past there's been some ideas that you've had that didn't really work out, but this time you just had to be more focused and take that passion and develop it into a business. And that's what successful businesses are all about. Okay, so I hope that helped, Bubs 1970. I really like your name. I actually do know a Bubba, so that's nice. But we're going to take another call from the chat, and this is the last question for tonight, and it's for Phil from Be Happy in the chat room.
From Be Happy. Hey, Be Happy. All right, my youngest daughter is about to marry. Will everything work out for her? Yeah. All right. Be happy, would she go? Her younger daughter's getting married, and will everything work out for her? Will she have a happy marriage? Yeah, be happy. It looks good on the quick pendulum there, so that's good. And young married couple, they're going to be worried about money and all that stuff, but he looks like a good guy and pretty analytical. And let me see if you're typing as I talk. So you need to let them go on their own and not jump in and try to save them all the time. But the marriage itself looks good. And good, they got the soulmate card up for lovers. So that's a very good sign that she's made the right choice. Is there anything else, or was that pretty much it there? Be happy. So you can be happy.
Well, thank you, Phil. I had myself on mute then, so.
And it was a quick read. It was a one questioner. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to actually do one more in the chat room, and that's for Maureen.
And that's for, actually, for the, or is she still here? The, where'd she go? Is she
Deanne?
Still here? Yeah, is Deanne still with her question? No, it was a Sheehan. She, is that what? Is that right?
Oh, yeah, she's still there. Yeah, I can
yeah.
see.
There yeah. you go. Yeah, and I see her question. She's wondering if I will be able to work out things with my roommate or if if we'll have to soon move. Okay, so she's wondering, she has a roommate, that's always, we love that, right? And then you're wondering if you can work it out with your roommate, or you are thinking about maybe you will move out. Okay, I'll focus on that. And how is that name pronounced, Nancy? What would you say, Shan? Shan? Nancy? She's on mute.
Oh, anybody? I'm on mute again. Yeah. Oh,
it's
my
okay.
God.
Shan. I wanted to make sure I say her name. Okay. What's her name, Nancy? How do you pronounce that
I
for you?
I have no idea. I would say Shinian.
Okay. There we have it. Okay, this is what I'm getting. You know, I really feel that you guys had a really great thing going anyway, but I think there has been interference, and the pain has been there. There's something that interfered with it. And my feeling is, because of it, my feeling is it's something that's so wounded from the past, and I feel very strongly it would be to your best interest to look to get another place or go somewhere else. And the reason why I'm saying that is because there's some past stuff that was really painful and wounding. So, and an interference, it may have came from someone else. And also, it looks like there's a man around the situation, and maybe her or his, I don't know, another person or mates who's very aggressive. And I wouldn't want to be around that. And it's like you look like a creative person. You need to feel, you know, the energy of good, being able to create and stuff. I do feel that your personal power would be sucked dry if you were not to move. And so it's not like you, a question about if you want to work it out. I think your intentions are good, but I think to your best interest, for you, I'm not talking to your roommate, would be, the timing right now isn't to work it out. So I would kind of look around for others, because we are colored by our environment. I think it'd be to your best interest to be in a good environment that would feel good for you to thrive. So that's what I'm getting. But, you know, you can try, but there's a lot of things. There's already been interference of outside influences that made it like it is maybe now, problems. So with that said, I would look around. I would think you'd be a lot more able to thrive in everything. So I hope that helped you. It helped me, because, well, I used to be in a, not anymore, but it helped me. Everything always helps me with these readings I give to people. Doesn't it, you guys? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I get a lot back. So I hope I didn't. You can always listen to this on the archives, because I do talk fast. I know that. Phil, is that you?
Yeah, I had my mute button confused.
Yeah, anyway, like, yeah, really.
Sorry, my dear.
You can listen to an archives if you didn't follow me very good. But I, you know, it just would be too difficult. Now, again, I may be off on this, but there's been some really deep pain that's happened. And she's not saying much of anything, so I don't know if that helped her. But I hope I helped you or gave you some insight or shed some light or an option of some sort. So there you have it. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
No, thank
you. Great readings, everyone.
Yeah. I hope everybody got something from it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good times.
So good times had by all.
Exactly.
And I believe this brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us this evening. And I think it was a really interesting and great show. And thanks for everybody who participated in the chat room. I wasn't in there this evening. But I missed everyone that was there. And thank you to Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my wonderful and esteemed co-host for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Maureen. And what can we look forward to next week, Maureen?
I'm not on mute. Okay, of course, but you guys.
I think we're all on mute tonight.
We're mute. I really am excited about this show because it's something that has really been making my head spin. I think we've all kind of talked about this, but it's on the clair senses. Now, we're finally going to get to this. The clair senses. You know, there's been a lot of confusion. My guest is, I mean, I got the, it was really hard for me to find a guest, but the best guest I could find is Anton Saint-Martin. And he is a one. He is a it's called clair senses. Okay, and the thing of it is, I want to tell you a little bit about the clair senses. We all are born with clair senses, right? But in our culture, we are conditioned by our parents, teachers, and everybody else that, and you know, not to use them. So we rely on a lot of sights in our smell, speech, and touch. So we're going to be touching on those, and also we're going to be touching on how you can figure it out because there's so many clairs. So Anton Saint-Martin is an international psychic advisor, clairvoyant medium, intuitive consultant, and destiny coach. He's excellent, very much so, and I know him personally, so I can say that. He is also a sought-after inspirational speaker, metaphysical teacher, and spiritual author with a special interest in parapsychology, paranormal research, and psychic phenomena. So for more information on that, Anton Psychic Medium Readings, or consultants, you can visit his website before the show at http://  Anton, A-N-T-H-O-N, Saint, S-T, Martin, MAARTEN.com. And if you have any questions about this, which I think you might want to email us your questions, because Claire's have always been very fascinating to everybody. So there you have it. So,
thank you for all that. It's going to be a great show. And he also works at psychicaccess.com,
I believe. Thank you. He sure does. And he was also with the original host on our show here a year ago. So, I thank you. He also does that, and also runs Psychic Bloggers. So, he's something else. He's something else. So, you tell everybody it's really going to be a good show. Don't miss it. Thanks.
Okay. And thanks for listening, everyone. And now it's time to say goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Bless your hearts.
Good night.
Have a great night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.